What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the We Got Now podcast, a podcast for the next generation. In this episode, I have a good friend with me, a former coworker, right, and just a guy that I love to be around, to talk life about, to talk sports about, which is actually what we're talking about today. So I got Carson Chapman with me.
Yes, sir. Chase, Carson, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be able to serve at Fall Retreat just last week, and I'm excited to dig into how we play sports to the glory of God today.
How we play sports to the glory of God. And like I said, Carson was a former coworker. He was on our youth staff for a good while, volunteered in our youth ministry for a long time. Carson, what was one of your favorite things about serving in youth ministry, whether on staff or just as a volunteer? What do you love about youth?
It has to be just impacting people at such a young age that last eternally, right? It's seeing those conversion stories, those people coming to Christ. One that sticks out particularly in my mind was Fall Retreat.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I believe. If you know me at all, I'm a big Alabama fan. So naturally, on a sports podcast that we're talking about, I'm talking about a nasty loss where Alabama loses to Tennessee 2 years ago. So I was kind of in a bad mood. I was taking the speaker back to the Nashville airport, if you remember, because he had to fly to Texas. And so I'm kind of not feeling my best. I'm kind of not in the best headspace. And what do I see? I see Ollie Rosa come to Christ. Yeah. And I'm like, that's why I do it. That's such a great reminder. Thank you, God, for making me look so small in that moment. My problems were not very big. What he was doing through Ollie was the real prize.
That's good. The only thing that can make an L that day was one of your very close students, right?
Yes, absolutely. Ollie had been in my Bible study for the past year, and so somebody I had definitely been praying over and somebody who I just love and cherish.
Yeah, shout out to Ollie Rosa. Yep. He better be listening to this
podcast. That's right.
Good. Well, like I also said, Carson, he's a good friend. I love to talk sports with this guy, and the reason I love to talk sports with this guy is because he knows sports. I know sports. I love sports. We both grew up playing and competing at very high levels, travel baseball. Did you AAU basketball?
I never did AAU basketball. Okay. Travel baseball from the time I was like 6 to 13.
And then play
all the way through high school basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, like just anything that has to do with a sport or anything that I can go and be active with. I just love it. I eat it up, Chase.
I'm told you're a great golfer. I've never seen you golf.
Now, great is very selective here. You know, it depends on who I'm playing against.
If it's me, you're going to be Tiger Woods.
Tiger wish he could, as Keon Coleman likes to say. I like to play golf. Now, when it comes down to how well I can actually score, that's up in the air. That's very much a roller coaster when it comes to my golf game.
I'm just saying, I got people in my ear that are telling me.
Well, I'm glad word has gotten out. I don't want to disappoint too much. Yeah. You know, you got to set the bar low and then over deliver, not underperform.
That's fair. That's so fair. That's fair. No, that's good. So you love sports.
Absolutely.
Is that right? I just want to make sure.
Okay. Absolutely. Like it's something I'm just so passionate about and something that has made a huge impact on my life. As we were just talking, has formed us because it has taught us a lot of life lessons. Mm-hmm. It's taught us how to be a teammate, how to have discipline. And I think it very much like ties into some of the things that we talk about spiritually. It very much has an impact on how we go about our craft as an athlete. Mm-hmm. And I think just learning those disciplines at a young age, it is a good thing. So that's what I hope that we portray today is that, you know, sports a lot of times people can look at as an idol, but when used correctly and used to the glory of the Lord, it is a gift to be enjoyed.
It's
something that we can very much get the best out of. And so that's what I hope we can just bring across as a point today is that it is a good thing and a good thing to be involved in.
That's right. And I feel like, you know, and no pastors at HBC, but just in the world of pastors, it's very easy to talk down on sports.
For like, sure.
Man, just give it up. Like, go to be a missionary. Like,
that's right.
You have more time to, in like, okay. Like, there's value in not playing sport, and many people, even listening to this podcast, are not going to play sports, right? And many people listening who are playing sports won't play sports forever. That's everybody, actually. And so we're recognizing, right, that sports isn't all there is, but God has given a gift, which I think you're going to talk a lot about, sure, of sports, to allow us to grow into His image. And mm-hmm. I think you and I are able to look back on our sports career, and even like, I know you do some coaching even now, and you see how God is using sports to form us into His image. And so here's the question that I want to hang out on, and I just want you to take the lead on. You're also a Christian. You're also a follower of Christ. We love sports. We're not saying sports is bad. We're saying sports is very good when used in a God-honoring way. For sure. So here's the question. How can we, as followers of Christ, use sports in a way that glorifies God? Because that's our aim.
That's the question, right? Yeah. That is ultimately, you know, if we're playing sports for something that is just pleasure, and it's something that we play maybe just because our parents played or because we're good at it, and it's all about wins and losses, and it's all about championships, then I think we're missing the aim there. If that's why we're involved in sports, if that's truly our why, we talked a lot about at Fall Retreat, what's our why in playing sports? If it's all results-based, if it's all just to win a championship, if it's all just because you're good at the sport, then guess what? Sports are going to let you down. Because yeah. We talked about it a lot. Like, sports, the beautiful thing of it and the thing that we hate sometimes is that there's a winner and a loser. There is ups and there's downs and there's times of failure. You played baseball, right?
Yep.
What's a good batting average in baseball?
If I'm batting 300, I'm league me.
So what's league that? Me. What's that mean? If you if you're batting 300, that means you're getting out seven out of 10 times. Yeah. That's a lot of failure, Chase. Yeah, and so what we have to realize is that success and winning has to come with a different perspective than just our results on the field, personal performance or team performance. And so that's what I really tried to communicate at Fall Retreat, was that our why has to go beyond just the scoreboard, has to go beyond our personal performance or our personal goals or success or what our team achieves. The way you play sports for the glory of God is playing for something much more. It has to be Christ-centered, me-centered.
That's good. Christ-centered, not me-centered. And so as we think about our why, again, as followers of Jesus playing sports, as we think about our why, what are some like key things that we can keep in mind as we go about our season, as we train in the off season, as we're preparing for big games, as we win big games, as we lose big games? What are some things that we need to have at the forefront of our minds as Christians as we play sports?
I think that's a great question, Chase. The first part that I go to is recognizing that sports is a gift. We just touched on that a little bit earlier. So I want to bring us to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10. The Word of God says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So it's by God's grace that we have the gift to play sports anyways. And we were talking about like gifts here is talking about spiritual gifts, but I think it can also be used in the context of when you're playing a sport, you've been given a physical gift. Like if you're a Christian athlete, you have almost been given something that not everybody has. You've been set apart in a way because you have physical gifts that allow you to be able to even play the sport. Like, don't take that for granted at all. Like, there have been seasons of life where, you know, sports gets taken away from people, and what you have to rely on in those moments is, okay, there's more to me than just this physical gifts. I have spiritual gifts given by the Lord. And so what we see in verse 10 here is that we have to use it to serve one another. And so that was my first main point, was that we possess great gifts because they have been given to us by God. And that, so if He's given us a gift, that obviously makes it have a lot greater value than anything else that's man-made. The gift that God has given us to be able to play sports and serve people is something that we have to cherish. So let's use it correctly. And then we go in to talk about, like, how do we use our spiritual gifts when we play sports? And so I think service has to be on the forefront of our minds. How do we serve people when we're playing our sport? How do we serve those around us? Because what do we know about playing sports? There's an audience. Yeah. There are people that genuinely care. You played at Marshall County. Mm-hmm. You saw what people looked like on Friday night when there was a big Marshall County basketball game in town. I'm sure you're in the student section.
Yeah.
People are, you know, talking to the refs, they're talking to the fans, they're getting mad at everybody, whether they're winning or not.
Yeah.
People care about the results of what happens, whether you're on the court, whether you're on the field. Mm-hmm. And so we we take that as Christian athletes and know, okay, what we're doing, people actually care about. So how can we use it to influence and impact them in a God-honoring way, I think is the first way that we serve.
Yeah, yeah. So man, we can play sports to the glory of God by using our sport. And we haven't even talked about, like, man, you may be the best on the team, the worst on the team, the mid, right? Is that a word? The reason the mid?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we got to use that in the right context. Yeah, whether you're the top of the food chain or somebody that's the last man on the bench or mid, there is something there's something that you can bring to the team, and it doesn't have to be what you do physically. It is very much what you do as being a leader and behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I want to capitalize on what you just brought up there about being a leader too, right? Because when we think about leaders in sports, sometimes you think about, you know, your Aaron Judges, your Shohei Ohtanis, your LeBron James that are leaders, right? And the large reason that they're leading is because they possess amazing physical...
Because they're the best on the team.
That's right. And maybe some of these listeners are going to be the top gals on their team. But can Christians lead regardless? Can they be on their team and lead regardless? And what would that look like?
Yeah, so I think being a leader goes so much deeper, so much beyond just being, you know, very skilled physically or being somebody that is, you know, one of the go-to guys on a particular team. One of the things we talked about was that a way that you can serve and a way that you can be a leader is being a great student. Mm-hmm. So, like, we miss this part all the time. Like, you are a student athlete. That means that you are, when you're in the classroom, when it's 8 a.m. on a Monday and you don't want to be at school, like, you have a responsibility to serve your classmates and your teacher. Mm-hmm. That's how you play sports to the glory of God too, because guess what? Mm-hmm. If you're not doing the job in the classroom, do you get to play sports on Friday night?
Nope.
Do you get to play when there's a big game in town and Marshall plays Graves or Callaway plays Murray? If you're not making the grades, if you're not doing your job in the classroom and leading by example, then you're not going to get to perform. And so I think we have to start there with leadership. And then I think it goes to, how do we practice? How many times you coach and I've coached, like, as coaches, we know that playing time is dictated on how somebody performs in practice. You hear that all the time. And so what you have to do as a Christian athlete is we have to take practice seriously. We have to hold ourselves accountable in the way that we work behind the scenes, because the work that you put in behind the scenes is going to prepare you for the moment of game time. Like, you have to have put yourself in a scenario in practice. That way, when your number's called, when the lights are on, you can perform. And so it's going to take work. It's going to take time. It's going to take dedication. And by sacrificing in that way, that's one of the ways that you can lead to the glory of the Lord.
Mm, that's super good. That's super good. So we can play sports to the glory of God, we've seen so far, by being a servant leader. A servant leader.
That's it.
Simply doing the work, showing up, being disciplined, being a good teammate, right? Being a good student, right? Being coachable, all these different things, But on the spiritual side of things, obviously, like, as followers of Christ, we want to be, now we're being a light of Christ as we do those things, but also we want to be vocal about our faith as well, right? So I think sports, and here's what kind of gets me, people who think sports is a waste of time, like, I've been in locker rooms. There's a lot of unbelievers.
For sure.
And if I'm the sole believer, or maybe there's two or three with me, I don't think it's a waste of time for me
not
to
at
be
all.
There.
Not at all. What? How do we see Jesus use his time, Chase? He wasn't going to the group of people that was already saved. Yeah. He was going to the people
sinners
that were in need.
That's right.
Those that were in need of a physician, he went to them. Mm-hmm. So ultimately in sports, in a locker room, where there's a lot of things that, you know, the world would see as sinful, when, and like, that's what happens in a locker room a lot of times, you have a chance to stand out in that moment and be a light. And so what I want to focus on there, using that transition, is that we, to play sports to the glory of God, we have to use it as a means of great influence. I think that is the single most important thing that an athlete has is influence.
Yeah.
And if you're a Christian if you're a Christian athlete, let's influence for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we are being relatable Let's find similarities that we can find a common ground with our teammates and build relationships off the field that help us in moments when, you know, you're in the heat of battle and you don't want to – maybe your flesh is taken over and you don't want to act like a Christian. Well, we've built this foundation. We've built this relationship, and we have this commonality that we're going to get through this together regardless of, you know, what we believe in. If you're the believer and maybe your teammate's a non-believer, you can have that commonality and that relatability aspect that kind of gives you influence with them even in the heat of battle. And I think that's really cool. What you see about sports is you can kind of pull somebody along with you in your pursuit of the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
When you have that platform.
That's right. And I could give a shout out to literally so many students in our ministry right now who are playing sports and who have identified teammates who are not following the Lord.
Yep.
As like, man, yeah, I want to win. I want to win the championship this year. I want to be great, but I want to see this guy come to know the Lord. And we literally this year, we've seen on multiple sports teams in our region that are also represented in our ministry, our students go into the locker room, living for Jesus, also proclaiming Jesus, and we have seen students like teammates come to know the Lord, get baptized.
Amen.
Like recently, we've been seeing this. And so it's just, man, sports, there's very few opportunities in life that you're afforded to be in such a close relationship with people that sports gives. And if you're a Christian, and those many of your teammates might not be, you have been given such a privilege to be able to penetrate a place. I can't go in there, right?
Like, right.
I might get a Bible study with a team.
Where you're given 15, 20 minutes.
Maybe. But those guys are in there, like, you're grinding with them.
That's right.
You're doing sprints with
them. You're sweating with them. You're bleeding with them.
And then you're going to DQ with them later, and you're saying, hey, I want you to know, like, let me tell you about Jesus.
That's it.
And so influence, and specifically there, you know, the opportunity to influence towards Jesus through evangelism is such a
If we're not playing to influence, then we're missing the point, right?
That's right.
Because I think a thing that we have as athletes a lot of times, like, if you're leading the right way, if you are trusting in the Lord that He has you there for a reason, and I think it's, you know, it's going to come up. There are going to be opportunities where you have an opportunity to share. So let's be confident about the message that we're proclaiming, right? Because ultimately, it's not about what we're saying to them, what we're trying to get them to believe. We just have to open up that door to be able to say, hey, do you know Jesus? Are you walking with Him? And let me just share with you what He has done in my life that gives me the ability to compete this way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the goal is that the unbelieving teammate sees the believing teammate and is like, they're competing for something way different than I am. Yeah. It is not results-based with them. They are ultimately, whether they're high or low in their sport, whether they just had a crushing defeat or a great victory, they're the same person. Why is that? How can they still be the same person? Well, it's because they trust in Jesus, and that is their victory.
That's
they
right.
They know that ultimately, if they have Jesus, they have enough.
That's so good. Yeah. Yeah, I want to piggyback off of something you just mentioned, crushing defeats, great victories, right? Because as an athlete, you're getting both.
Absolutely. A lot of times you're getting the defeats more than the victories.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And so how do we think through, right, responding to great defeats, responding to great victories as a follower of Christ? How do we navigate big wins and big losses?
Man, I think that's the million-dollar question, right? That is ultimately, there's nobody on earth besides Jesus that could handle great wins and great defeats perfectly. Mm-hmm. So I think before I even go into any detail, let's remember that. Let's give ourselves a little bit of grace, regardless of how we've responded in the past.
That's right.
To these scenarios, because ultimately we've all missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
But I was telling you earlier that I think as athletes, the two questions, how do we respond to great victory and how do we respond to great failure, reveals our hearts. And what do I mean by that? Well, ultimately, if it's a moment of great victory, all right, there's reason to celebrate. There's reason to, you know, champion that. There's a sense of pride that kicks in, because it's like, hey, look at me now. And you puff your chest out and it's like, look what I've accomplished. And what happens in that moment? Well, our mind gets so focused on all the external stuff that we forget our why. Mm-hmm. We forget that this is not about us. Mm-hmm. This is about the platform that Jesus has given us to make much of him.
That's right.
And ultimately, also, I brought it up that Tom Brady, the greatest football player of all time, when he won his third Super Bowl, he was given an interview, and they asked him which Super Bowl victory was his favorite. And he said the next one.
It's a killer.
I mean, we've all seen that line. We've all seen that video. And it's like, dude was 27, 28 at the time, and he could not even reflect on the three greatest days of his life, probably, because he was so focused on the next one that he, like, that. What does that show? It shows that when he got those three best ones, those three Super Bowls, It wasn't all that great. Mm-hmm. It was unfulfilling in a way, mm-hmm. because he got to the top of the mountaintop, and he's like, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. He's got to go achieve something else. Yeah. Whereas as Christians, if we have the perspective that even in moments of great victory, we were already winning because we have Jesus, and he's doing a work through us, and he's doing a work through our teammates, and even the people that come to watch us, if he's doing a work through them, then that's winning. Mm-hmm. That is truly winning for eternal purposes, not the purposes of this world. And so I think in moments that there's great victory, we have to be reminded that we have to take it all in humility. We have to put it into perspective and say, yeah, this is great, but God is better, mm-hmm. regardless of how great that feeling feels. And am I saying that you can't celebrate a great win? No. I'm not saying that you can't celebrate a great win. I'm saying that once you celebrate it, like, let's move on to the next thing, because we can't dwell on that and make that our sole purpose for competing. Yeah. Just wins.
Yeah, and I love that. And, you know, the two temptations that you bring up there, to puff out our chest, man, I'm the man.
I'm the man.
Or just to seek satisfaction through victories and wins and trophies. Like, the prescription there for both of those things is the cross. You know, like, the cross humbles us real quick.
For
like,
sure.
You might be the man. No, you're not the man. You know what I'm saying? Because in a very literal sense, there's always someone that's actually, there's actually better. You know?
There is one, the man.
That's right. And for those seeking trophies and championships and wins and accolades and all these different things through sports, I think the danger is, look at Tom Brady. It didn't fulfill him in the way you thought it probably should.
For sure.
So it's like, okay, what's, and with all due respect to, you know, what's a Kentucky State Championship? I mean, compared to a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
It's a big deal.
Yep.
Super Bowl's a great deal. And Tom Brady was like, it's okay. You know?
Right. At the end of the day, it's collecting dust in a trophy case.
That's right. Yeah. Where's your treasure at? Where are you storing up your treasures?
Yep.
So that's good. So that's how we celebrate wins, and you've made that, like, it is good to win. Don't throw
for
the
sure.
game.
Yeah, don't have this sense of, hey, we just won the championship. Like, if New Covenant goes and wins, you know, some state tournament this year, I don't want them to be like, oh, can't celebrate this. Carson said that was a bad thing. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, enjoy that in the moment, but realize that there's so much more that you're playing for. It is ultimately the relationships that you're building and the influence that you have for the glory of God. That is the real win there. Mm. And that happened before you ever took the field.
That's right.
That happened before you ever took the court. And so let's remember that, hey, this is good. Let's celebrate it. But this can't be something that we cling to as what's most satisfying.
That's good. What about a little bit tougher? Everyone likes to talk about wins.
For sure. That's a lot more
fun. But
we
also lose. And it's hard to lose well. I'm talking about, I'm playing a board game.
Who's a good
I'm
loser?
I'm not good at losing.
Who's a good loser? There's not one.
I'm not.
If you're an athlete, if you're competitive, there's no good loser.
Yeah. And you know, I'll go back to that. I'm a Kentucky basketball fan. I know you are too. That Kentucky Duke game. I was on cloud nine that we won. I don't know what I'd done if we lost. I would not have been a happy camper. All right? I would not have been a happy camper. And so, as a fan, as a parent, as a actual player on the field, in those moments of losses, in those moments of failures, disappointment, How do we navigate those waters?
Yeah, so I think what you go to is, what is the human response in the in those moments of failure? All right, so what is your flesh tempted to do in those moments? Well, it's tempted to feel embarrassment and shame. Okay, what do we do when we're embarrassed and shame? Well, if we're embarrassed, then we're probably just going to curl up in a ball and try to avoid the situation. If we're shameful, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to be around people. We're just in a bad mood. That is the human response. All right, what is the Christian response? Yeah, okay, that was disappointing. Like, I just went 0-for-4 in a big district game. Yeah, I'm not supposed to be like ultra happy right in that moment. Like, I'm not saying that you have to put on a fake happiness.
That's right.
What I am saying is that if you let that 0-for-4 turn into, now I'm treating my mom poorly, I'm not doing my homework, I'm telling my teammate that it was his fault, that's where we get into danger. That's if we start blaming others, if we don't take responsibility, then I think that that starts, you know, a bad habit of dealing with failure. And I think it all is about perspective. I think it all is about how we deal with failure, how we get it out of our system. So, like, in that moment where, you know, you had a disappointing performance, are you able to compartmentalize that and say, hey, you know what? I didn't come up, you know, big when I wanted to, but I'm not going to let that define me. I'm not going to let that attribute value to me, because the one who attributes value to me loves me regardless of if I win or lose. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go back to the cross. Like you said, it is all found at the cross. Jesus died for me. He didn't care if I went 0-for-4 tonight or if I missed the game winning 3-point shot in a big game. Mm-hmm. I think that has to be our focus, and it's really hard to remember that when you're disappointed, when you're embarrassed, but I think we can't let our emotions get the best of us. I think we have to I truly believe in, like, not giving an emotional response. I think we have to get away from the situation, view it from a 30,000-foot view, and say, in the grand scheme of things, is anybody else going to remember this? Because I think that's a great thing to remember, is that the 500 people that were in the basketball arena that night, they're not going to remember the result of this game in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's going to sit with you. Mm-hmm. You're going to remember that, but nobody, it's never as big of a deal to everybody else as it is to you.
Yeah.
So keeping things in perspective is so huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems to me that just like everything else, it comes back to identity, right?
For
like,
sure.
Is my identity in this sport? Because when I miss, right, when I let my team down, I'm gonna feel the weight of that. Right, and I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be defeated, not just on the court, off the court.
Yep.
And it's going to affect
It's going to spiral.
That's
it's going
right.
to go into different aspects of your life, and that's what we can't have.
That's
happen.
Right. But if our identity is in Christ, and for many listeners here, your identity is, again, it's not. Hey, you remember Tim Tebow when he lost? He was not happy.
No,
right? It wasn't like you're supposed to smile anyway. It's. He
cried on the sideline, right?
And he worked his tail off to make sure it didn't happen again.
Yep.
Right? But his identity, who he is as a person,
didn't
he knows
change.
Is not defined by a win or a loss, and therefore he knows who he is.
Yep.
Right? So as athletes, as men, as women, as workers, who as friends, as parents, we have to remember our identity is not in what we do, but in who we belong to,
yep.
which is King Jesus.
That's so good, Chase.
What about the disciplines of sports, right? Because we've talked about this off episode. Sports builds a lot of character for all people, right? You play sports and you're, and I think I told you this, like, I don't think I learned more about the world and how to live and how to be a human than what sports taught me.
There's no doubt.
But then as a Christian, I'm going back and seeing the same thing. I'm seeing that all the years I played sports, all the years I spent playing sports, like, God taught me, even though I wasn't a believer for me, and I know you were, I wasn't a believer, and then I became a believer, there was so much now in my Christian life, in my spiritual disciplines that the Lord taught me then that I was able to translate into even now as a 28-year-old follower of Christ. So kind of speak to, if you don't mind, like, what's the connection there? How does sports teach us the disciplines that the spiritual disciplines of being a Christian.
Yeah, and I think we've touched on it a lot. It has to do with how do we handle failure and how do we handle, you know, great victory? And so think about your job. There's going to be, and I know our listeners, not all of them are working a job right now, but one day they will be in the workplace.
Yeah.
All right. If they have a background in sports, they're going to remember that, you know, when they punch the clock at 8 a.m. and the boss is having them do a task that they really don't like to do, but they know that they need to do it and they need to have a good attitude in their work and work to the glory of the Lord. They can probably think back to, hey, when's the time that a coach made me do defensive slides when I didn't want to? When's the last time, you know, I missed a free throw and he made me run a suicide? Like, those experiences you draw back on because it's being able to persevere and do things that you don't want to do or don't enjoy. If you build up, you know, calluses to that, and if you know that regardless of how you're feeling, you can still make yourself, you know, get through it and push forward, I think that is very helpful in our spiritual lives, because there's going to be seasons of temptation. There's going to be times where, you know, you're not feeling as close to the Lord. You're kind of like withdrawing from Him. So can you persevere through those moments, stay steadfast and not be shaken? I think that is, you know, a testament to, okay, we learned this habit when we were young and playing sports, and I'm seeing it now impact the way that I'm working for the Lord, and it's impacting the way that I follow the Lord because I'm pushing through even when things are difficult. Mm,
that's so good. Two more questions. One's fun, and one's kind of just a final piece of advice. Who is your favorite athlete who clearly seems to be following Jesus as well? Like maybe
man, that's a great question.
Yeah, just off the cuff here. I
you brought him up earlier. The first one that pops in my mind is Tim Tebow.
He's one of the greatest.
I think he really is. I'm trying to think. When I first started watching sports, I was, you know, probably 5 or 6 years old. So Tebow was at Florida as a freshman around that time. And I remember him winning the national championship. And if you remember anything about Tim Tebow, what did he have on his eye black every time, Chase?
John 3:16.
John 3:16. He had Philippians 4:13. And so I can remember in third or fourth grade, I dressed up as Tim Tebow for Halloween. I had the eye black with my Bible verse written on it. I think Tim had a uncanny ability to not listen to the way that the world talked about him. Because if you turned on a sports talk show from 2008 to 2011 when he was in the NFL winning a playoff game, there was a bunch of ridicule about Tim Tebow. He was not championed at all.
No.
They wanted to talk about his performance on the field. They wanted to talk about what he couldn't do as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. What they never wanted to talk about was what he did for that locker room, what he did as a philanthropist, what he does off the field and how he's impacting people. And what a lot of people don't know is that Tim Tebow was never even supposed to be here. When he was born in the Philippines, his mom was told to abort him because she was going to have some major medical complications with having him. So I think truly the Lord has blessed their faithfulness in having Tim Tebow, and he has been just such That's a great insane. Tool, a great asset as somebody who is playing sports for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I really don't think that he cares whether he's in the NFL right now, because I think he understands that the time that the Lord gave him as an athlete, whether he was at Florida or shortly in the NFL, gave him a great platform that he's still using to this day.
That's right.
To bring honor and glory to the Lord. And so he's somebody that I've truly always looked up to.
No, I definitely second that. He'd have to be one of my top guys as well. Oscar Tshiebwe, who played at Kentucky not too long ago. He was incredible. AJ Griffin, he played at Duke. And then
how about that?
I'm a Hawks fan, so this
is yeah, that was so cool. Like, that just happened, right?
It's insane.
He's going to seminary?
Yeah, he's going to seminary. The Lord called him to ministry, and so he quit the NBA.
This is a top 10 pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, who has potential.
His rookie contract is probably, you know, upwards of $20 million, and he's walking away
to
go to school? Like, think about that, church. Think about that listener that he's saying no to that to follow what the Lord has.
I
applaud him. I'm so encouraged by him. Jonathan Isaac, another NBA guy.
Yes.
Very outspoken about his faith and, you know, several years ago with the Black Lives Matter movement and so many things that were going on in our country at the time, I thought he just had an excellent perspective about why he was playing and some of the decisions he made. And I very much applaud those guys for how they're using their platform.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is one of my favorites.
Oh, my goodness. I love Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and I can link it at the bottom of this podcast. Kirk Cousins has a podcast with Kevin Kevin DeYoung, who
no way.
You know, yeah, on his Life, Books, and Everything podcast. And it's just like a 45-minute podcast of Kevin DeYoung asking him football questions, faith questions. And I knew Kirk Cousins was a believer before I listened to that, but just hearing him articulate his faith and his why, and it goes into, just to kind of tie this up, it goes into a lot of what you were saying here, Carson. Kirk Cousins cares a lot about football, but his why is why he plays football, right? It goes beyond the scoreboard. We like that. We like that.
Yeah.
But he's like that. He loves Jesus. So
I'm so glad you brought up Kirk Cousins, because this is off the cuff here. Something that, you know, I have the screenshot here from July 16th, 2023. Okay. I listened to a podcast that Kirk Cousins did with these guys out of Nashville. It's a podcast called Dadville. We can probably attach the link to this podcast, because it's just a great episode of Kirk kind of giving perspective as an athlete and as a dad and everything. He shared this quote about what he would want his kids to remember about him at his funeral. And Kirk Cousins says this. It's by Dwight L. Moody. Do you know who Dwight L. Moody is?
Yeah.
He says, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter." So, Chase, I think that's our lasting thought. I think that's how we end this podcast, is that our greatest fear should not be of failure in our sport. It should be of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. So if our success is based on how many championships we won or how many individual accolades we won, then we're missing the point. Then we're truly failing. But if we're succeeding at the right things and remembering Christ as our greatest why, and that's how we win in sports, then I think that's how we're going to succeed. Our life is going to matter then.
That is so good. Man, I appreciate you coming on.
Man, I love this. This was so much fun.
We'll have to have you back on.
This is my first appearance, but this has been a blast, Chase. Yeah,
that's good. I really appreciate it. Thank you for serving our students for so many years. Students, if you see him, say, "Hey, we want you back. Come serve again." I know you got a lot going on and you're serving in other ways, but we want you back in the
Man, industry. I tell you what, I went and got my hoodie from Fall Retreat, because y'all's merch is pretty nice. I saw everybody rolling up on Sunday after Fall Retreat in the hoodies. And I texted Tyler Witt. I was like, "I got to go get one of those." So I came up there on Wednesday night, and I probably had 5 students stop me. And I was like, this is cool. This is, you know, I miss these guys.
That's so cool. Well, how can we play Sports of the Glory God with Carson Chapman? Listeners, we hope you were edified. We pray that God was glorified. And we pray that for you athletes, for you parents to athletes, for you coaches, for whoever's listening, we pray that you would do all to the glory of God, whether eat, whether drink, whether play sports. Let's do it to the glory of God. Until next time, peace.